title of the sermon this morning is Made Under the Law. Made Under the Law. And we're looking at Josiah, the king that was like, says, that 2 Kings chapter 22 in the second verse says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked not in the ways of the other kings, but walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand, nor to the left hand." And Josiah was one that was above all the rest of the kings, as we'll read later on, that there was no king before him nor after him that did or walked as or was like Josiah was. So this is inclusive of David. A lot of people think that David is the greatest of the kings, but we see here where Scripture gives this title to Josiah as being the greatest of the kings. As he said of his grandfather Hezekiah, "No man trusted the Lord as Hezekiah, no other king trusted the Lord as Hezekiah did." Hezekiah stood out in that point, but here Josiah stands out as a man that was made under the law, as a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. We should typify each and every king of what we study that is good in the Word of God. All of these kings, all of these works has to be in us. Here, Josiah was a type and shadow of Christ by faith that helped establish the law of God. And we know that it says Josiah was 8 years old when he came to reign. But during that time, Josiah had people over him that was in the administration that helped him. We know that God's divine providence is at work in all of our lives. It's in the work in the earth. In the book of 1 Kings, there was a king that was reigning. And this king had did some wicked things, and he had went to battle, and he had seen an altar, and he had made Israel to make an altar just like that altar. We have an unknown prophet that came and prophesied against that altar. And he said that God would rise up a servant, a king, by the name of Josiah. If you would look by, you'll see that Josiah's name, by name they called Josiah's name, it was spoken of 250 years later that he would come and do these works. So here's God's word coming to pass over 275 years that Josiah came on the scene and did exactly what that man of God said he would do. That's how we have to be rooted and grounded in God's word, because if he spoke it, it shall come to pass. And we should get in the habit of prophesying. We will see a prophet that's in here that spoke the word of God. Prophesy and prophecy is speaking forth the word of God. The prophets of old held a different position than in which prophets do today. My first point could be on God's providence. As I said, God was guiding the nation. And no matter how many preachers or how the religions try to show you or picture you of men to worship, when looking at the Bible, all these men, all the things that's happening, you should place Christ in those places, because they testify of him. Those scriptures testify of him. So in other words, it's God's spirit that's working in and on and through these men, in which that spirit dwells in us today. So by God's providence and his sovereign hand, he brought all this to pass, even for Hezekiah to pray for extension of life that would give him a wicked son named Manasseh, who would give birth to the most godly king that Israel ever saw, which was Josiah. So everything is in the realm of God. Everything God has is in his realm, and he's guiding and leading us there. He has placed mature leaders. Hilkiah, you see, Hilkiah, Shephaniah, the high priest, the scribe, all these people. And I've been hearing a lot of preachers. I hear people preaching, "Well, how would you like to be king at 8 years old? How would you like to take up on this task of making the decision or be appointed as president?" Well, that's true and it's not true. The grain of truth is that he was on the throne at that time, and that he didn't have time for co-regency because they killed his father as soon as he came to the throne within 2 years. But these people around him was like the law is to us. It was a schoolmaster to bring him to the point of being king. So from his 8 years old until he was about 16, they were making decisions. They helped form and shape his heart and his life. That's why a lot of times I ask you, how your son doing? How your children? How your family doing? Because it is you that help shape and form and mold their lives. And whether you know it or not, whether that child is around you or not around you, his life is still intricately tied to your life. He might be watching you afar off and you not watching him, but he should be watching you. We should watch all and each other, even from afar off and from close about. So with the focus here, I want to get this point across, is the law. The focus is the law. The focus is the law. Paul told Timothy, the study of the scriptures, they're able to make you wise unto salvation. So, as he grew, when he was 16, you can read it in the next chapter, in 2 Chronicles, the 32nd and 34th chapter, what gave him a lot of more information than this 22nd chapter. But when he was 16 is when he started to seek the Lord with all of his heart. And I've told you countless numbers of times, when you seek the Lord with all of your heart, that's when you'll find him. You'll have to see that God was guiding and leading him to seeking him and finding him. So in his 18th year, he began the repairs on the temple. He sent Hilkiah, verse 8. Well, let's go to verse 3. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azalon, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door had gathered. I'm not going to read the rest of that because it follows in the same format of that which Joash had did when he restored the temple. And believe me, our church needs restoration at this time. It's in desolation, in ruins and tatters. Just like the church of the world today is in ruins and tatters, and God has his hands on the future leaders of this church age to come about brighter and brighter in their season and time, which I think is close at hand, to begin the repairs, to begin building the temple of God. Now, God is always at work laying this foundation. The Spirit doeth yet work. And the reason that he used someone like Josiah, because Josiah had a deep respect for the law. He had a very deep respect for the law. He cared about the law more than anything else in his life. That may have been because of some of the people around him, the lives that his fathers had led, his grandfathers. You look at your family, and that may give you even more cause to serve God when you see how it turned out, how your family's turned out. You say, I don't want to be like this. And you might think of some in there and say, well, I want to be like my grandfather was, Hezekiah. You look at the good, and God had him looking at the good. And when they went up to repair, we have to start working in God's kingdom. When God gives us of his spirit, if we may labor for years. He labored from when he was 8 years old till he was 16, and this was in his 18th year that before he sent him up to begin the repairs on the house of God. But we see that when they got busy working on the house of God, And they set it up to where the money was coming in. They was giving it into the hands of those repairing the temple. When you get busy for God, when the church really get busy for God, God's going to be found of the church. It's not going to get found of the church when you're waiting for God to just drop something or something right down there in your hands. And you go, oh, this is, I got it. I got this vision. And then you go forth and do something spectacular for God. Not when you're sitting on it. Not when you're sitting on the pews. But when you're out there in the world going about God's business, having faith and trust that you're walking in God, God's going to make himself manifest to you. That you do good, do justly, walk uprightly, and love mercy, God will make himself found unto you. Well, as they was working, verse 8 says, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king the word again and said, thine servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work and that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. As he was reading this book of the law, and different scholars, different commentaries, different people surmise on what books of the law it was. I think it was the book of Deuteronomy. I don't think it was the whole Pentateuch. I think that they had those portions of the Pentateuch that Moses had already recorded. I think those that was in the Ark of the Covenant remained, God, by his providence, protected and preserved those in the Ark of the Covenant. But we see that a second law was given. That was given in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses gave the law twice. It was written on tablets of stone and placed inside the Ark of the Covenant. But if you go to Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, and the 22nd verse, we see where Moses therefore wrote the song the same day and taught the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished. That's when he completed the law. There were other laws already in that book, but this was the second giving of the law. And that was during the time when Joshua was about to take over. Aaron was dead. And it says that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant. Notice he says, put it in the side, not in the Ark of the Covenant. It says, put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant. The Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thine rebellion, thy stiff neck, and behold, while I'm yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death. We see where they was a rebellious people at that time, just as the church right now, in this nation, in this world, is rebellious. They're away from God. They're reading parts of God's law. We have the Word of Faith churches and prosperity churches and everything doing the same thing Judah did. Solomon apparently did the same thing. All the kings before Josiah was doing the same thing. That's why God said Josiah was greater than the rest of them. Because they had portions of the law that promised prosperity. But Deuteronomy is the book that lists the curses also. You don't look at the other books, because what happened was at Deuteronomy, Moses sent Joshua to one mountain and the people on another mountain. They spoke forth the blessings and the curses if you didn't do what's in that book. You see,
You catch all these people, they'll talk about tithes. They'll talk about God healing you. They'll talk about God. And turn on your television. Every evangelist, every television preacher, they don't mind going to the Old Testament to tell you how good God is to you. And you are wonderful. You are chosen people of God. That you are Israel. But they don't tell you that you are a cursed nation if you don't walk in those laws. They say, God don't curse people. God don't do this. He's the same one that gave you those blessings. He says, if you don't do them, it's going to be a curse to you. See, that's what happened. Because the book of Deuteronomy we have today, and sometimes you don't have to listen to preachers. See, because preachers steered your own. That's who steered Israel wrong. And Jeremiah was back there during the time, and he was the one preaching to his people and saying, it's your pastors, it's your leaders, and your political leaders that have steered you wrong. Because the book of Deuteronomy we have today, Josiah compiled that from these writings here. Josiah compiled it. He can compile some of Proverbs. Josiah compiled, his men compiled those books and placed them in order. That's why a lot of people say, well, this was added, some of this was added after they went in captivity, or this was added later on, or a lot of this. That's why a lot of people, especially a lot of people of intellect, have these kind of things, what they say about the Bible. You know, they say a lot of bad things or whatever. But see, God preserves His Word, and this was preserved because it wasn't to their liking. It's in the book of Deuteronomy, where he says a king shouldn't multiply silver. David was a king that multiplied silver. He multiplied tons of silver. He had several wives. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. It says the king shouldn't multiply wives. So we know Solomon and David wasn't holding to this portion of Deuteronomy. A lot of people say, well, I don't think those men would have violated God's law. They wasn't looking at it. They wasn't concerned. The priests wasn't doing their job. And that's what the problem is. A lot of times the staff or the people around you are not doing their job. A lot of people, I mean, elders of the church, I mean, lead men in the church depend upon the pastor to do the work. Most churches have a board of elders or whatever, and those elders are studying and reading God's law. They're not yes men. Most of the evangelistic crusades we have today, all these people that are around the great evangelists and the great televangelists, they're yes men. That's what happened when Eddie Long fell. He had yes men. Because when he went into this problem, the elders should have told him to sit down. He couldn't make that decision. Jimmy Swaggart couldn't make the decision when he was going to sit down or what his punishment would be. The elders in guarding of the church would have made this decision. It's not on one man. But those people, it predicated on them studying the Word of God and knowing the Word of God. The pastor is just a lead teacher, but he's a sheep like the rest of them are sheep. He's in error. If he's in error, he said those elders that sin, rebuke them openly so people will know not to follow that. Manasseh should have been rebuked openly so people wouldn't follow him and be destroyed. That's a problem with me when somebody always agreeing with me on this and that. Well, won't you show me the other side of this? If I'm not right on this, let's sit down, because grown men ought to be able to discuss things and see their opinion without getting mad and upset about something. If you pray, God's going to be in the midst of us. That's the way the Jerusalem Council did it. But don't get overbearing. Don't get out of your place, though. But see, Josiah was trying to carry this load by himself because the high priest, he was a problem. We will see that he was destroyed. Later on, he was destroyed. As you read, he wasn't a qualified elder. Now, he helped raise him up. Just like our parents, I say, raises us up. But it's a lot my parents did wrong. It's a lot anybody's parents do wrong. Not that they didn't tell you right. You remember the good things, but you have to also remember the wrong things. Some places or sometimes your mama or your daddy wasn't always right. Where light is revealed, you have to be able to walk in that light as God leading and carry you in that light and do as Jesus told his people. He said, didn't you know I have to be about the work of my Father? That's what he told Mary. See, his position with Mary changed when he turned water into wine. Sometimes you may be in a church, God may lead you to another church because that church may not be standing in God's Word. You have to follow the Word. Don't be scared to walk on God's Word. And that's what's wrong today. We got too many scared people. I guess that's point number two, stewardship. Stewardship. And as I was saying, my parents, and I take more from my mother than I did from either one of my father or stepfather. I learned more from her than either one of those. That's where I learned perseverance at. That's where I learned compassion at. That's where I learned a whole lot from. But that's also where I learned a lot not what to do. I learned a whole lot about where a woman's place should be. I learned a whole lot about having scared men for husbands. You know, most women don't want, they may not tell him that. They don't want a man that's depending on her for all the decisions and that he's scared to death. They don't want a yellow guy. Most of the time, what they're going to do, they'll find a man that may not be as prosperous as this other guy, but at least he's a man. Women go find a man and they like, they can say, well, why do that woman, that guy's taking care of her doing all this, why do she fool with this old no good guy? Because he's a man. She's seeking for authority in her life. Her husband may be a good provider, but he's not a good leader. See, God has set us in the house to be leaders. Israel was to the point at this time where the leaders, the women and children were the leaders. We'll study that later on. The women and the children, right now, in 80% of the homes in America, the women make the decision or have more influence on the decision than the man. It's as the time of Adam and Eve and Abraham where they listen to their wives. That's the problem. Men not being men. I'm not saying that they did not care, but that they were not diligent or courageous in doing these things. It's not that Hilkiah, the high priest, didn't care. He just didn't have it. He just wasn't designed for that. He just didn't pay enough time to the Word of God. He didn't read it and study it because it shouldn't have been lost. If you're reading the book of Deuteronomy, have y'all read the book of Deuteronomy where the curses are? One of the laws in that book says that the king should take a copy of the law and copy it himself. Each one of those kings should have had a copy of the law themselves to read the law and know what the law is. How are you going to know what the law is if you hadn't studied the law? Each king should have copied the law. That's in the book of Deuteronomy. But a lot of people say, well, this was inserted because of those very... Just because someone's neglected something doesn't mean it wasn't there. That's what we have in the church today. That's what we have in America today. The guy that they want to elect, a lot of people that's behind, he cast aside all other things, but they're concentrating on money. It's not about morals. It's not about character. It's not about instability. It's about the dollar. And that's all Judah was interested in. God said that Judah had did worse than Israel had done. That's why it wasn't no salvation or saving of them. They were going to be lost, and it was no hope for them. Because they didn't love God, but they were just like the Pharisees. They were religious. The worst thing you could have is somebody sitting in church that don't love God. That's why he said you should have to seek me with your heart. That's what this nation has, is people with a form of God, but denying the power of God to work in their lives to change and transform. That's all we have is Christians in name only. It was an editorial in the paper the other day when they said, well, how many Christians we have in Louisiana? And the person was saying, well, who's to determine whether one's a Christian or not? Who knows who's saved? See, because we know by the works. And the people that's considering some of the things, you know what? When you pray, we should be just like when God told Jeremiah. When what comes on this nation comes in the next year, don't gather together and say as a nation we should gather together, pray for the nation. Yeah, pray what happened to them that's going to happen to them. because it's determined to destroy them, because that can't be in the earth. It has to be destroyed out of the earth because they're hypocrites. They should be destroyed if you put people in to rule over you that's like this. That you put people to lead you, preach to your children, and you don't even care about it, you should be destroyed. So, as I said, Paul admonished Timothy to study the law. You have to be, that law has to be holy, pure, and just to you. And that we see that Jesus walked in that law. Now, when he read this book, it says that he rent his heart. After all of this reads, verse 11, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes, and the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Akim the son of Shaphat, and Akbor the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azra, a servant of the king, saying, go ye and inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us. That's why those that are the least among you is to be those that teach against the law. And that Josiah realized the trouble that they were in, because he knew the God that he was serving. This five men that he tell, let me read that one more time. Verse 13. Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. Rending the clothes is a sign of repentance, sign of mourning, of deep grief, He was in such a state because he loved God's law so much, and he seen that he had a great problem. We have leaders today that they say they're going to have to teach to be human, that they're going to teach this. If he is elected president, they would have to teach him how to care for people, how to have a heart. See, Josiah had a tender heart, and it hurt him when he heard the words of the law, and he thought, he said, we have sinned. He didn't throw himself out of that like this guy and everybody. If you overlook sin, and the people are overlooking this guy's sin. That's why we say, well, I thought the church didn't get in politics. Yeah, but it's the preacher's job to warn you of impending doom for your action. Because it ain't no like you voted for this other guy that did the same thing, and he's going to do worse. Well, those that voted for that, you know, the curse is upon you also, because the book of Revelation says they gave power to the beast. When you give something, your vote, your money, your time, your presence, anything, you give power to that. You give assent to that. That's why he was destroying Judah, because they had gave power to Manasseh. They had gave assent to Manasseh. That's why the Mars died for Christ, because they say it's better to obey God than to obey man. And so many people like popularism, socialism, and that they not going to deny man, they would rather go along with man and deny Christ. So, Josiah rent his heart. We have to rend his clothing, but today, that's a sign of us rending our heart. We should rend our heart and ask God to have mercy upon us and have a heart that's like Josiah's, tender way as God could write his laws upon that. And by working according to Psalms 25 and 14, it says, the secrets of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So we've seen where Josiah feared God. That's the reason he was allowed to find the book of the law. Because God's going to give you light. If you walk in the light that he had given you, he's going to give you more light. That's why darkness is coming up on the world. That's why darkness, this delusion that God says that he will send such a strong delusion that the people would believe a lie, because they love darkness. They love evil. They love that which is wicked. And the church has apostatized just like Judah had apostatized. He said that Judah was, they call them Sodom and Gomorrah. Israel and Judah call it Sodom and Gomorrah. But Judah's sin was, it's not like Sodom and Gomorrah in the Old Testament, homosexuality. And that's this nation's problem. They focusing on homosexuality, but that's not the core problem, the reason God could destroy this nation. If you were looking at Ezekiel, it was because of covetousness. It was because of lack of compassion for their fellow man. It was because of greed. It was because of high living. It was according to their lifestyle. It wasn't because of homosexuality. That's even worse when you have God's word and the government's stealing by oppressing the poor. The government is going against God by oppressing the infirm, those that can't do for themselves. By taking taxes and spreading it around on the ones least able to afford it. Whereas they're saying, well, why don't we tax the upper class, the more wealthy, the ones that can afford it. But they decide to oppress the people. And you see the preachings and the teachings of Amos, that of Hosea, that of Joel, Jeremiah, it was teaching this. Don't give it to the people of less. Give it to the people who can't afford this, because you're supposed to visit the wilderness, the fatherless, the orphans. You're supposed to visit all those that can't. So what happens is, Proverbs says, in all thine ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. So the priest and the high priest, we can see where all five of these men was in darkness, and they were calling themselves helping Josiah. So we see God's divine providence was up on Josiah and not up on them. These five men, when he says, go and inquire of the Lord. You remember I told you that the deacons, the elders, the preachers, the staff, in other words, the ones that's in the church supposed to be the foundations of the church. They can't pray. They don't study the word of God. So how can they help anybody? The high priest, if you would look, it was the high priest that was supposed to inquire of God, wasn't it? When David said, go get the ephod, it was Aaron. Aaron was the high priest. It was Zadok. It was Ahimelech. It was any of these high priests that would take the ephod, the Urim and Thummim, and give the decision of the Lord. They were in touch with. You can tell whether somebody's in touch with God. All five of these men, he didn't tell them to do what they did. He said, go and inquire of the Lord. They were supposed to get there and pray. They were supposed to be able to tell him what to do. What God had said. Today, men can't do it. That's why women are doing it. That's why women are preaching and doing everything else and pushing the man to the side. Don't care about his decision. An older guy was telling me the other day. He said, well, you know, that was our problem. Us men hadn't stood up, and that's why life and our families didn't went the way they are. I know, but it's too late for whining and crying and now. That ship didn't sail. That ship didn't sail. Once somebody get control, they don't give it back. You'd better humble yourself to God and hope God steer that ship back to port. These five men, did you read that? Now watch this. So Hilkiah, verse 14, Hilkiah the priest, and Acham, and Agbar, and Shaphan, and Asael went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikva, the son of Herod, the keeper of the wardrobe. Men always run to women. Men always run to women because these women praying and doing the will of God. Some of them are. You know, that's the same thing Barak did. Deborah told him what the Lord said, and he said, well, you going with me? She said, if I go with you, the Lord's not going to give you any glory. He said, well, I'm scared to go by myself. Would you go with me? You know, I need a woman to hold my hand because I'm scared to go. See, men don't be men. These men went to a woman. Huh? They went to a woman. Now, who did I tell you was there? This was during the time of Jeremiah. Well, they say Jeremiah, a young prophet, but he's doing what's right. Well, Ezekiel, you know, Ezekiel, he's young. He's younger than Jeremiah. But I think he'll do what's right.
How about go to Zephaniah?
No, Zephaniah would tell us what thus saith the Lord.
Well, how about Amos or Hosea or Joel?
No, all of them are preaching condemnation. They're preaching hardness.
Let's go to a woman. She's going to have more compassion on us.
How about going to a woman? We'll go to Huldah, the prophetess. Well, let's see what she says. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah had read. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah which sent you to inquire of the Lord, see, it says inquire of the Lord, not to her. It says, thus shall you say to them, thus saith the word, saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest and what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thine clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore I will gather thee unto thine fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thine grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I shall bring upon this place. And they brought the word to the king again.
Well, that was truth. That was what God had prophesied. Satan sees what God had prophesied. A lot of evangelists, televangelists, and preachers see what God has said, and they're preaching what other preachers are saying and what God has said. Not that God had given them his word.
Well, let's look at this little portion that was mixed in there. Behold, therefore I will gather thee unto thine fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to the grave in peace.
Well, the second portion of that might be true. Thou shalt not see the evil I'll bring upon this place. Well, a woman would tell the leader, the king, maybe that he's going to be spared, be tender toward him. Maybe she should have been a little bit firmer in what she was saying. Maybe that's why sometimes my sons duck me and go to someone else and go to their mother or something. Because of the bottom line. The bottom line, Jeremiah might have told them. Well, if they were studying God's word and knew God's word, they could have helped and directed him. But since the temples was in shambles and God, Josiah, had asked them or directed them to do as they should be doing, since they probably were some of the ones who also was taking the money and hadn't instituted these reforms before, how had gotten that shape if they were standing up for God, if they were doing what they were supposed to do? How did it get in that condition? And see, that's what a lot of people don't understand, that these people were religious in this great reformation that took forth. God was going to see the great reformation that had started in the house of God, and that Josiah had cleansed the temple. He had instituted all of these reforms, but the reforms wasn't going to stick. It's just like today, the people are preaching and legislating and going back and says, well, we think we should knock down the law on same-sex marriages. We think that we should rescind this law. Well, what the preachers and things are not seeing, that God's lifting is common grace. That, in other words, that's the salvation that had appeared to all men. God's lifting that. We can see it lifting. He had prophesied it in Zechariah, the 11th chapter, in the 6th verse. Josiah would have profited if he would have maybe had someone else in administration. That's why we have to purge these things out of the church. We're not going to have leaders or people in the church that are not seeking the Lord themselves, that are not giving time to reading and studying the Word of God, but are wrapped up in the world and then come in here and act like they're so far in the Bible. It's easy to appear religious inside the church. How are you on your job? How are you in your home? We have to know one another.
That's why it says, know those that labor among you, whether they go stand, what kind of life they live in, what kind of family they have, what's going on in their life, because it says, for I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. But lo, I will deliver the men, every one into his neighbor's hand, and into the hand of his king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them. And I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you poor, O poor the flock. And I took me two staves, the one I called beauty, and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. So, we see a remnant coming out of this. But we see, whereas when these men went back and told Josiah this, it gave Josiah Super Mario capabilities. That Josiah went back and he challenged and he started to build and he was helping work and establish the law. And that's what we should do. We shouldn't stop working because the church is going to hell. That God is the fight against the church. We should be in the midst of this church fighting that battle also. It says, every man draws sword against his brother. Just because he named the name of Christ don't mean that you don't lower the boom. Just because he's in the church with you, that don't mean you don't lower the boom. Just because they're in another denomination don't mean you don't lower the boom. We see, well, a lot of nuns go come out of the Catholic Church. They shall be established. But you see, all of these Tea Party-like people that talk about fighting to establish God's laws and everything, they shall be wiped out because it's a false religion. It's a false hope. It's uniting church and state. And that's what Josiah was doing. Sometimes that wicked man has something to tell you because he's a soul of God also. God said, love your enemy. Josiah met the Pharaoh Necho at the Battle of Carchemish. God had spoke to Pharaoh Nicomach and told him to go out to battle. God says, all souls are mine. Who are you to think you more than another individual? What makes you think your religion is better than that man's religion and that he's not a child of God? So, Pharaoh told Josiah, Josiah, don't meddle with this. It's because the Lord spoke to me and told me to do this. Now, she'd have told Josiah that, Josiah, you need to be careful. You need to keep seeking God. Your high priest is the problem. We're going to study about that later on when we study Jeremiah, when we study Ezekiel, that he had administration. The problem was in the church. The problem was with the leaders. The problem was with the people. That's why God said he was going to save Josiah and not the people. We're going to see these very same men were some of the first ones that the king of Babylon destroyed. Because they hadn't seek God. They was in the church. They was along for the ride. But they were scared men. There was a bunch of scared men. So, if he had started watching and listening to all men, there's a grain of truth in anything anybody say, man. So, whether you die by the sword of Pharaoh, do it look like he died in peace? He didn't see the evil that was coming up on them. But a war with Pharaoh is the same as a war with the king of Babylon. He died by the sword. He died out on the battlefield. I'm sure when he went to fight against Pharaoh Necho, that his men ain't just stand back there and let them two fight. But I'm sure that they started to wage war, and Josiah was killed then. That's when they killed Josiah. Did he go to his grave in peace? He died a very young man. He was around 30-some years old, maybe 39 or so when he died. You see, we have to watch because of Zechariah, he says, when he lived common grace. In other words, that common salvation, that common grace will allow all men to see God in the end times, in the times of the Gentiles, when that shall be fulfilled. And we see that time closing in. The church time is closing in. Well, the bands he called beauty and unity was the unity. There's a division in the nation. A lot of people say, well, president's trying to cause a division. God said he's going to cause a division. He says your enemies could be those of your own household. He says your enemies could be those in the nation with you. The enemies will be within. The enemies will be within the church. That's unity. That God was going to lift the unity of the people. That's why we at God's mercy. But we still should be fighting and walking by faith to establish the law. The law is right. And that's how Jesus walked. It was by faith. He was made under the law. We are made under the law. God gives us His Spirit to, by faith, establish the laws of God. But if we acquiesce to the world, we accept their holidays, their holy days, everything the world is doing, we're not by faith establishing the laws of God. We're establishing pagan religions. We're establishing pagan days. We're establishing the religions of the world. But there's going to be a lot that are marred. There's going to be a lot that gets stronger, because as they walk in God's word, God's going to make them stronger. But just as Jeremiah, it's going to be a lot of them that they cast in the cistern. They cast him in the cistern. This was Josiah's sons doing this. Zedekiah was a pansy. This is one of Josiah's sons got the throne cursed from under Israel. It was due to the three sons of Josiah. Josiah had three sons. All three of them reigned. One of those sons was so wicked that God said, cursed be Jeconiah, Conan. That they call him Conan in some of the parts of the Bible. That no man shall sit on the throne anymore until whose it is shall come. In other words, Israel was not going to have a king. All those preachers that were saying, well, God was preserving the line through Hezekiah, it didn't come through any of those people. It didn't come through Solomon, because that line was weak. What we have been seeing is weak kings, weak men. Every once in a while, God will put a good king in there, because Josiah had to lay the foundation for those that was going into captivity, that they should withhold the law and stand up on God's law. Because a lot of them that went into captivity became wealthy men. A lot of them didn't want to come back out of captivity. It's a lot of people now in the church that's in the world, and they're not going to come out of the world because they love the things of the world. They love the things the world has to offer. Demas forsook Paul from this present world. See, it's got a lot of people love the money, the prosperity, the things that are on earth. That's where their heart, that's where their treasure are, is up on this earth. But God, through His law, keeps our focus in His law. But as Jesus comes in our heart, by faith, we walk by faith. This law, this world is passing away from us. The unity that we have, we know that we're one in Christ Jesus. Anyone that does not love the law does not love God. And God's going to displace them. Without that, you may show pity to the wrong people. You may show mercy to the wrong people. There's a difference from pity and mercy. When what comes on this nation comes up, didn't it? Hadn't they trounced on people? Hadn't this nation did everything? This is the only nation that dropped a nuclear weapon on someone. This is the only nation where there's no universal health care. But they still say they are a Christian nation. Racism just as rampant as it ever was. They're not having the love of God, and they're not going to preach that because too many people are against it, and they for a camouflage religion. They say, well, all is well. We shouldn't talk about that. We shouldn't do that. They want to persecute the big things. They want to persecute homosexuality. They want to persecute same-sex marriages. How about covetousness? How about oppression of the poor? How about greed? How about all of these things that you allow into the world, the banking association? Usury. They charge with usury. All of the wickedness that he destroyed Judah for, they became as Gomorrah. And that's why he would destroy. That's why God put people here every once in a while to keep his people grounded with that glimmer of hope that his world is still here. That God's people, he's going to come back and find those that have faith in the word of God. Even though it looks like that it's going to hell in a handbasket and most people won't have anything to do with the church, because people have corrupted the word of God. They have corrupted the church so great. And it's my people, he said, who have caused my name to be blasphemed among the Gentiles. He said, therefore, I shall cast him out. I'll cast him aside. Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac shall sit down in the kingdom. The children of the kingdom shall be cast out, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, just like it was Judah. That's why he said he had invited the Gentiles in, a nation that do the will of God. They rejected Jesus. They rejected their own king. They said, we have no king but Caesar. They're saying the same thing now. They have no king but man. They're laying aside all of these other things. So there's no one nation on this earth that we can say is pure. I pray for this nation. I thank God that I was born in this nation. I thank God for my children who have served in this nation, in the Marines, in the Army, and on the police, that's doing all these other things. But there are some wickedness in this nation, and I would be wrong as a minister to say that we don't deserve what's coming up on us. And that's what Jeremiah, every time Zedekiah would say, we'll go see what Jeremiah would say. When Jeremiah would tell him, the people wouldn't listen. And that's the same thing with the church. The church's not going to listen. They say, let's go see what Ezekiel got to say. Because he sounds good in what he's preaching. It's a lot of people, women and men, in here, amen, and going along with going in the church. And they're some of the worst whores and whoremongers in the nation. That's where you have the greatest fornication. You go into one of these mega churches and talk about fornication or cohabitation and see how many thousands in there now, amen, that message. Christianity today has more divorces than just about the world does. Do you think that just because you say you're a Christian, God says he's going to examine the heart. I'm going to send some oppression to see do you hold that same thing. Be careful how you build. When you say made in America, you need to say made under the law. If we're made under the law, if we see the law as holy and pure, and we keep God's law in our heart, hide that law in the heart. Be tender-hearted like Josiah did. And let him write his law upon your heart. Let him have his way to shape and form you and walk therein. It's the devil is going to come up on you and he's going to throw all kinds of things against you to scare you off. But don't love your life unto death. You may lose your life. But don't be afraid to lose that life. If my mama is wrong, I have to tell her she's wrong. My wife, my children. Why are we afraid to say the nation is wrong when it's wrong? The same people that gave us the Patriot Act, they are the same people that's rebelling and doing this now. When they're in charge, it's a whole different story. But the people in the nation that's not even in the church that's making the biggest stance now, it's not church people. The people that can see the hypocrisy of the party that's trying to get elected can see that they're warmongers. This guy is wanting to go to war with Korea. He's wanting to go to war with Iran. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for. You don't have any money now. This guy had bankrupted us before he left. He had drove the car in the ditch. But if you think that the car is out of the ditch, you go start another war. You go and do the things and put this in. Sometimes God's mercy runs out. And he's going to do you just like he did Judah. That he's going to say, enough is enough. Your character is fixed and fitted in. It's got some people only call on God when they're in jail. Only when they're sick. Only when they have problems. They're fair weather Christians. They're not standing by the walls of the church in the heat of the day. They're not laboring under any burdens. They're not going to true preachers of God who's going to preach holiness and shape and form them through the suffering of Christ Jesus. But we need to stand when no one else stands. When no one's standing with us, we need to stand. We need to. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord God, to see your word, Lord God, to walk in your word, to give us strength to do your word, Lord God, to do that which is pleasing unto you, Lord God. To not turn to the right, not turn to the left, Lord God. To be as Josiah, to love you with all of our heart, to be fully committed unto you, Lord God. To give us our heart, Lord God. To give us our strength. As we pray for our president, Lord God, Pray for the governor of Louisiana, Lord God. Pray for the mayor of Baton Rouge, Lord God. The pastor of the church, Lord God. All of the members of this church, Lord God. We pray for one another, Lord God, all the saints of God throughout the earth that's having trouble and tribulation and trial, that we stand strong and be one in him, Lord God, to be one in you. We pray for this nation, Lord God. We pray for the peace of this nation, Lord God. Keep us with leaders, Lord God, that seek the peace and prosperity of this nation, Lord God, that we are fortunate to be born in such a great nation, Lord God. But we see that we and our fathers have sinned, Lord God. We've come away from your word, Lord God. We've come away from the upright standing in you. Help us to get back on track. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.